And so we continue our journey looking at Joseph and his life and what we can learn from the way he lived his life. If you remember the last time that we saw Jacob, he had sent 10 of his sons down to Egypt for food because there was a famine in Canaan. But Benjamin, who was now Jacob's favourite son, having lost Joseph, or thinking he'd lost Joseph, stayed at home with his father. And when the brothers got down to Egypt, they didn't recognise Joseph, but Joseph recognised them. But he accuses them of being spies, because he got one brother who he loved perhaps more than all the others in Benjamin, and it was Benjamin that he wanted to see. And so he sends them back, and he holds Simeon as surety to make sure that they do come back. And so we come to chapter 43, and we're going to be looking at the whole chapter, but I just gave Daniel the first 14 verses to read, because there are three main characters in this chapter, and in verses 3 to 14, we see the decisiveness of Judah. In verses 15 to 25, we see the goodness of the steward. And then from 26 through to 34, we see the forgiveness of Joseph. And I want us to look at each of those characters this evening. There's an Irish folk song called The Hole of the Moon. And it's about two characters who are stood there on a dark night looking up at the moon. And the chorus of this folk song is, I saw the crescent, but you saw the hole of the moon. Two people looking at the same thing, but seeing different things. One looked up, and all he saw in that new moon was the crescent. The other one looked up, yes, he saw the crescent, but he could see the highlight of the whole moon. He saw everything, whereas the first one had just seen the crescent and nothing else. Carry that over onto a spiritual level. And what do we see when we look at God? Do we see him in part, limiting him to the parts of our lives that we're happy to hand over to him and to open up to him? Or do we see him as a whole? Do we know what he desires for us? What he desires to do for us and what he desires to do with us? And so I want us to look at these three characters and whether they saw the crescent or whether they saw the whole of the moon. So let's look then at what Daniel read to us, the decisiveness of Judah. Remember, as I said earlier, Jacob and his sons were living in a time of famine. And if this reading confused you and you saw the word Israel, Israel, if you didn't know, is just another name for Jacob. He has two names, as it were. Sometimes he's referred to as Jacob, sometimes as Israel. And none of them could see the overall plan of God sending them to Egypt to be reunited with Joseph. They all thought he was dead. And their only intention in going to Egypt was for relief from the famine that they were suffering. In other words, they were after relief rather than reunification. Judah now takes charge. Whether you remember or not, last week, Reuben had been the one that seemed to take the lead. Reuben wasn't a very good leader. Because we read in chapter 42 and verse 37, then Reuben said to his father, you may put to death both of my sons if I do not bring him back to you. This is talking about Benjamin. And trust him to my care, and I will bring him back. In other words, you can have their lives, not mine, but you can have their lives. He was willing to sacrifice the lives of others, but not himself. But Judah wasn't like that. Judah offers himself. Look up chapter 43 and verses 8 and 9. Then Judah said to Israel, his father, send a boy along with me, and we will go at once, so that we and you and our children may live and not die. I myself will guarantee his safety. You can hold me personally responsible. Judah was offering himself. He accepts full responsibility for Benjamin's safety when they go back down to Egypt. He didn't know what the future might hold. He didn't know it was Joseph that had been talking to. As far as he knew, it was an Egyptian official. Someone who had the freedom to take him and have him put to death. And yet, despite the fears that he may have had, he was willing to be responsible for Benjamin's safety. He was determined to do what was right. And we'll see in a couple of weeks' time that it was Judah's words that caused Joseph to break down and to reveal his identity to his brothers. Accepting responsibilities is difficult. It's not easy. But if we accept the responsibilities that God gives to us, then it builds our character. It builds our confidence. And it should motivate us to complete our work for Him. Judah carried out his task with amazing results. Because Joseph is reunited eventually with his brothers. And you know, when God gives us a task to do, we need to carry it out with the same determination that Judah did. We need to commit ourselves to seeing it through. Rather than the here am I, send somebody else. So Judah manages to convince his father to let Benjamin go back. But Jacob tells them to take gifts with them. Gifts of balm, of honey, of spices, of myrrh, of pistachio nuts and almonds. Gifts that weren't grown in Egypt. Gifts that were grown elsewhere, but remember there was a famine elsewhere. And so these were special gifts that Judah was to take back to Egypt with him. And he was to take back double the money. Because remember, the first time the money had been returned. They didn't know whether that was by accident or what. And so Jacob orders them to take twice the amount of money. What was Jacob's motives behind giving these gifts? Maybe it was the obligatory thing to do, because we read in 1 Samuel and chapter 16 and verse 20 of a similar situation. So Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, a young goat, and sent them with his son David to Saul. And then in chapter 17 and verse 18, take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back assurances from them. When you went to somebody of importance, you took gifts. Was that his motive? Perhaps it wasn't. Perhaps he was looking back to the time when he was with his brother Esau, and how readily Esau took the gifts that he offered to him. It had worked once, perhaps it will work again. We don't know what the motive was, but whatever it was to bring back food that they might not starve. In their parting words in verse 14, we read this: "And may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, I am bereaved. I am bereaved." This is either a recognition of who God is, or it's a desperate plea concerning the destiny of his family. And it seems to be the latter, because he keeps saying this: "I am bereaved." But you know, Judah only saw the crescent. He didn't see the whole of the moon. Because he didn't believe that God was fully in control. He relied on his own diplomacy. He was a very good diplomat. And he thought that would be sufficient to get the release of Simeon, who was back in Egypt, imprisoned, and also to see the safe return of Benjamin. And then in verses 15 to 25, we see the goodness of the steward. In verse 15, the brothers are hurrying back to Egypt with the gifts and double the money. And they present themselves to Joseph. And Joseph immediately hands them over to his steward. We don't know the steward's name, but we can learn quite a bit about him. In verses 16 and 17, "When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, 'Take these men to my house, slaughter an animal and prepare dinner. They are to eat with me at noon.' The man did as Joseph told him and took the men to Joseph's house." We know firstly that the steward was obedient. He did as Joseph asked. Yes, he was no doubt paid to do as Joseph asked. But he didn't hesitate. He went about it straight away and was obedient to what he was told. In verse 23, we learn something else about the steward. "It's all right," the steward said. "Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has given you treasure in your sacks. I received your silver." Then he brought Simeon out to them. The steward was reassuring as well as obedient. The brothers had explained what had happened, and the steward tells them not to be afraid. So he was obedient, he was reassuring. But he also ministered to their needs in verse 24. The steward took the men into Joseph's house, gave them water to wash their feet, and provided fodder for their donkeys. They travelled a long way. They were dusty from the journey, and they were hungry. And the steward ministered to all of their needs. But there's one thing here about the steward that we need to take note of, and that's in verse 23. "Your God," not our God, not my God, the steward says, "your God, the God of your father." He was prepared to do all that was asked of him. But God had no place in his actions. You know, there are several times in the Bible where God takes people who don't know him, who have no experience of him, and use them to his glory. Remember Pharaoh's daughter, when she went down to the river to bathe. Someone who knew nothing of God. God was alien to her race. And yet, God took her and God used her and saved Moses. And Moses was to lead the people out of Egypt. So here was someone else who saw only the crescent and not the whole of the moon. And then in verses 26 to 34, we see the forgiveness of Joseph. Here was a man who had experienced so many things, so much had gone wrong for him in his short life. We know that he spent 2 years in prison after the baker and the butler had been released, before he himself was released. And despite all that he'd gone through with Potiphar and Potiphar's wife and all the other things that had gone wrong, he still loved his brothers, the ones who had sold him into slavery. He still loved them, his father and his brothers. And not recognizing Joseph, the brothers protest their innocence. "Please, sir," they said, "we came down here the first time to buy food. But at the place where we stopped for the night, we opened our sacks, and each of us found his silver, the exact weight, in the mouth of the sack. So we brought it back with us. We have also brought additional silver with us to buy food. We don't know who put our silver in our sacks." They protested their innocence. They were apprehensive as to what was going to happen. Their attitude was servile. And then they were amazed at Joseph's apparent supernatural knowledge that we find in verse 33. "The men had been seated before him in the order of their ages, from the firstborn to the youngest, and they looked at each other in astonishment." This man from Egypt, this so-called Egyptian, knew exactly their order of age. How did he know that? They were amazed. But look how they sat down to eat. Joseph sat by himself. The Egyptians by themselves. And the brothers by themselves. You see, in Egypt there was a caste system. The Egyptians had two castes, those of importance, and they wouldn't mix with those of lower rank, with the rank and file, as it were. They would pass the time of day with them, they would say hello, but they wouldn't eat with them. And of course, the Israelites were an even lower caste. And so they have to sit down by Egyptian law in three different groups. They had to eat separately. So why would God let Joseph suffer the way he had down through many years? Suffer physically, suffer emotionally. And if they had suffered, surely this was the perfect time for him to get revenge on his brothers. Now was the time, now was the opportunity that he had to get revenge. Well, God had promised Abraham years before that Abraham's descendants would become so numerous that you wouldn't be able to count them. That was a promise that God had to keep. And how was he going to keep it if there was a famine and people were dying? Well, he would keep it by sending Joseph on ahead to prepare the way. God knew there was going to be a famine. And Joseph was there to meet the need as it arose. And why didn't Joseph seek revenge? Well, revenge didn't even occupy a small corner of Joseph's mind. All that is occupying the mind of Joseph is the love for his family. Despite all that his brothers had done to him, Joseph is still concerned for their welfare. And Joseph brings out a new dimension, as it were, in brotherly love. Because look at the brothers that had gone before him. Cain and Abel. One killed the other. Ishmael and Isaac had to go their separate ways. Jacob and Esau. Again, brothers who didn't get on. Time and again, there were brothers who had to go separate ways. But here was a different love. Here was a man who loved his brothers, that wanted the best for them. And Joseph's love, particularly for Benjamin, brings a welcome picture of a tender, affectionate, real, true love. After all, Benjamin is Joseph's only full brother. All the others were only half brothers. But there'll be more of that in the coming weeks. Now, the family are reconciled. They don't know it yet, but they're reconciled. And there can be no true blessing until God's people are reconciled. And it's only after there's been this reconciliation that God can begin to bless his people. Joseph saw the whole of the moon. He saw the whole picture. He saw what God wanted him to do, and he did it. So very briefly then, what do we learn from each of these characters? Well, from Judah, we learn that the events of his life provided many opportunities for him to do good. But he was more concerned about the pressure of the moment than a conscious desire to fulfill God's plan. One thing he had going for him, that when he recognized his mistakes, he was willing to admit them. Judah admitted his mistakes. He showed her the responsibility. And he sought forgiveness. He was willing to put himself on the line. And we need to remember that God is in control, far beyond our immediate situation. That however dire we think our position is, God is there, and above all, God is in control. From the steward, we can learn that whoever we are, that God has a part for us to play, each and every one of us. If God is willing to take someone like the steward who knows nothing of God and use him, how much more is there a work for you and me to do who do know him? And Joseph, well, from Joseph we can learn God's will for our life. Joseph's words and Joseph's actions won over many people, many that you wouldn't expect. And that was because of his belief in God's ability to work in any situation, in every situation. Whether it be with Potiphar, whether it be with the prison warden, whether it be with the other prisoners, the king himself, and then after many years, his brothers too. Each setback that Joseph had was followed by a positive response. He didn't waste time saying why. His reply was, "What shall I do now?" You see, wherever Joseph was, and whatever Joseph did, God was with him. And that gave him a positive attitude. Because there's nothing like God's presence to shed new light on a dark situation. And then lastly, Joseph had a personal integrity and spiritual sensitivity. Because what matters is not so much the events that we go through or our circumstances that life throws at us. What matters is our response to them. So, are we a half cup full person or a half cup empty person? Do we see the crescent or do we see the whole of the moon? Do we believe that God will fulfill his purpose through us? I prayerfully hope so. Amen.